Diary, January to February, 1874. January 1st to February 16th, 1874. January 1st, 1874. We are at Santa Rosa. Arrived here December 29th, 1873. We found Sister Hall in good health, notwithstanding the severe taxation she had endured in consequence of the sickness of our little May. She had been sick 4 weeks with erysipelas. Her case was very critical, but through the blessing of our kind Heavenly Father and the assiduous care and excellent judgment and experience of Sister Hall, the crisis passed, and our precious darling is spared to us. May, although only 4 years old, has been very patient during her sickness. She has an excellent memory, does not forget what is told her. She has mature understanding for one of her years. All that has been done for her, which was not at the time pleasant, has been fully explained, and she has submitted with wonderful courage and confidence that all that was done for her was for her good, to make her well. Our affection for the little one has become very strong. During her sickness, the neighbors, in their supposed kindness, increased the anxiety of Sister Hall by referring to individuals who had been afflicted with this dreaded disease and who suffered terribly and died. They urged her to have a physician, but she dared not even consult a doctor, fearing that he might do something which would injure the already afflicted one. Meanwhile, she worked with persevering, unwearied energy, day and night, giving baths, using water in a variety of ways. She also used cranberries freely as poultices to arrest the spread and kill the inflammation. The disease raged fearfully until it had passed the entire length of the body except one arm. The little one had, with all the rest, many boils which had to be opened. One of her feet was swollen fearfully and looked purple, but constant care, day and night, was at length rewarded by a gradual passing off of this afflicting disease. Only once did Sister Hall leave her own judgment for that of others. Caustic was recommended by a physician, in whom she had the greatest confidence, to mark a circle around the body to prevent its spreading upward to the head. She marked the body and burned the skin, which became very sore and raw. This, then, was another care, for her to dress the wound, and an additional affliction to the suffering one. She could not perceive that the least good was accomplished in the use of caustic, and the child may carry the marks as long as she lives. Brethren Judson, Chapman, and Loughborough were with us to consult upon business matters. On the night of the 31st, these brethren and my husband sat up until the new year came in. The brethren left here the 2nd of January. Brother Chapman brought us a nice cow to use while we remain in the mountains. Our brethren are very attentive and are willing cheerfully to do all they can to make us welcome and our stay among them agreeable. January 3rd. We attended meeting at Santa Rosa. My husband spoke 1 hour. I spoke 1 hour. From these words, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Colossians 3, verse 1. We both had freedom in speaking. Appointments were given out for me to speak first day in the afternoon. January 4th. As we were about to enter the house of worship, a notice was placed in my husband's hand to read of an appointment of a Presbyterian minister to preach in the evening, showing the change of the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day. I spoke to the people from Luke 10, verse 25 to 29. I had freedom in speaking. Our congregation was not large, but there were more than I expected. There was considerable interest manifest in the words spoken. After I had ceased speaking, my husband arose and gave out the appointment of the Presbyterian minister and proposed to review him next Sunday afternoon, if it was pleasant. If not pleasant, defer it until it was. My husband advised all to go and hear the reasons for Sunday keeping, and then to come and hear his reasons for observing the seventh day as the Bible's Sabbath. My husband and Sister Hall and myself were invited to ride with Brother Hewitt. He came to our home manifesting true brotherly feelings. He brought us a fine box of apples and a bag of gram flour. He took us up a muddy, rough road to view a place which he thought was a desirable location, having a stream of water running through the farm, also several living springs of water upon the place. Price for 160 acres, $5,000. January 5th. Our boxes of goods we received today from Michigan. Bill of freight, $50. We had all that we could well do to get our goods unpacked and put away. One heavy box was filled with books. We had some labor to put them in order to dispose of when called for. We received the review and letters from Brethren Butler and Lindsay, and a package of papers. Woman's Friend. A missionary paper sent me. I cannot tell by whom. January 8th. Brother Judson came. Sister Sarah Ross accompanied him. We decided to accompany Brother Judson to his home at Bloomfield. Sister Van Horn went with us. It grew dark. The roads were bad, broke both springs of our carriage. We found a comfortable fire and warm welcome from Sister Judson. January 9th. We took cold last night from sleeping in a bed that had not been used. We decided to return to Santa Rosa. We did not get home till after dark. The roads were bad, and we could not see our road clearly. We were thankful to get home safely. God mercifully preserved us from accident and harm. January 10th. I spoke to the brethren at Santa Rosa. I felt like pressing home upon the people the necessity of self-denial and willing obedience to God, keeping all His commandments, whether it was convenient for us to do so or not. January 11th. My husband spoke in the afternoon to our church upon the perpetuity of the law of God, showing that the Sabbath had not been changed. January 13th. Brother Cornell came into Santa Rosa and went out to Brother Morrison's. Brother Wilson and wife accompanied me to Green Valley to attend meeting and speak to the people. We had a house well filled. I had some freedom in speaking from these words, Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12. There has been a religious interest among the Methodists, and many had professed to be converted. By their fruits ye shall know them. This religious excitement seemed to be of feeling. The feelings were appeals. The young at this meeting made sport, although we were dwelling upon the self-denial and self-sacrifice of Christ in our behalf. The converts become so bold and behaved so unbecomingly, we were obliged to reprove them. I was urged to speak in the evening. I consented. Two were baptized after the meeting closed in the afternoon. Took dinner at Brother Ross's. In the evening, there was a crowded house. I spoke upon the state of the world in Noah's time, and that Christ had said that a similar state of things would exist in the last days to that before the flood. I felt that the Spirit of God was upon me. I pressed home the truth to the people. All levity was gone, and a solemn stillness reigned in the house, seldom known in that place. I felt perfectly free. I had warned the people and left the responsibility upon them. Spent the night at Brother Ross's. Brother Van Horn and his wife accompanied me back Monday morning to Santa Rosa. February 14th, 1874, Sabbath. I attended our Sabbath meeting in Santa Rosa and spoke to the little few assembled in regard to the paralytic that was healed on the Sabbath day. I felt the Spirit of God resting upon me while speaking. After I had ceased speaking, a request was offered for our church for Elder Miles Grant to speak in. A vote was taken to grant him the church. I thought the decision hasty. I mentioned the matter to my husband. He felt that all was not right in this matter. He had an interview with Brethren Dennison and Hagar and made a statement of the unchristian course Elder Grant had pursued toward our people. We decided to see Brother and Sister Bowles, First Day Adventists, and lay the facts before them. Sunday evening, February 15th. We had a very interesting social interview. My husband made a statement of the matter of Elder Grant's course toward us upon the Springfield campground in not allowing me to speak on the ground and in ordering us from the ground because we distributed a few tracts upon our faith. We stated that if Elder Grant would use his influence to have the First Day people open their houses to the Seventh Day Adventists, we would open our house to the First Day people. Both should pledge themselves not to come out in opposition to the views held sacred by the other. February 16, 1874, Monday. I had a very impressive dream. I thought a First Day Adventist brought in to me a large cake of beautiful-looking honey and said, "This is to feed the children." I did not break the perfect-looking comb, but tapped on the top of it to see how solid it was. Immediately, there ran out from the bottom of the comb a mouse, and another, until four had been counted. Then six ran out in a body. I became startled and said, "This will never do. Those mice are very destructive. They will devour all before them. We must not try to save the honey, for the mice have injured it so that it must be worthless. We must get it out of the house at once." We took hold of the honey to remove it and were surprised to find only a thin crust. There was no substance within. It was hollow. We cast honey and mice and all away together. The moment I awoke, I said, "This is Elder Grant's sanctification. Very beautiful without, but covering destructive errors represented by the mice. He does not have the sanctification of the Bible." The Redeemer of men prayed to his Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, 'I know him,' and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." 1 John 2, verse 3-5. This is true Bible sanctification, to love God and to keep his commandments.